are in this episode of Sell TV, this could be why you still don't feel well, or even why you got the dreaded diagnosis. This is a very important episode because I don't know if you saw the movie Root Cause, but it was taken off of Netflix. That's how much controversy is around this topic of root canals, cavitations, hidden infections, and how it's driving autoimmune cancer and diseases. And again, even just hormone disruption. You're going to get the answers on this episode when I interview Dr. Jerry Curatola. As a matter of fact, you're going to see something shocking that happened to my wife and why this doctor saved and changed her life. And also, we're going to talk about the proper way to get cavitations and root canals fixed, what you need to discover, or I should say do to discover these hidden infections. All of that is going to be discussed in this episode. This is going to be one you're going to want to share, and definitely you're not going to want to miss. I'll see you in the episode. Here with Dr. Jerry Curatola.
How are you doing, buddy?
Of my favorites. Okay, so this episode, you know, we're good buds. You're going to get a lot of fun in this episode. But this is a serious topic. I mean, so it'll be hard for us to pull back. But if we keep it fun, then we're going to keep people learning, that's for sure. You know, I titled this may be why you don't feel well still, and this may be why you're sick or got a diagnosis. You know, this is a topic. We did a show, it was a while ago. Yeah, I mean, it was episode 210. And I'll tell you what, that episode has brought a lot of people to a big understanding. It's brought a lot of people here, fortunately. As a matter of fact, I was brought to tears yesterday in your office because, you know, sometimes I get beat down, man. You know, it's like, gosh, it's like, is this making a difference? Am I making a difference?
Yeah.
And I walked in your waiting room. And there was a woman and she said, oh, well, you know, I'm here because I watched a podcast of yours.
That's exactly right. Most likely
it was that one. And, you know, and anyway, she went on to tell her story. And then there was another woman who was here that, matter of fact, we could put up the Facebook link on this, Ashley, one of my patients who you helped that I sent here, sent her here. And this poor girl was sick her whole life, unexplainable stuff, gut problems, diagnosed with Lyme, diagnosed with low immunity, of course low immunity, but yet not one person looked here. And she had a massive, massive infection. She had a crown with metal over top of metal, which was an amalgam that you said you pulled out about 3 thermometers full of mercury out of.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally teared up a couple times. He brought me in to the surgery, fortunately, and that's when we did the Facebook Live, and you can watch that. But I teared up a few times because I realized she was literally right before my very eyes getting her life back. And then seeing the other woman getting her life back and my other patient here, it was an emotional day for me, honestly. And here we are in an emotional subject. And I truly mean it because I have a stack of folders of testimonies from just people. And many of them came here. But people who got infection, hidden infection taken out of their mouth, either in a root canal or a cavitation. And literally, I've gotten texts or emails before they even left the office saying, oh my gosh, my life's different.
And one patient in particular, and you know, we never know. I mean, I always knew and aspired to the philosophy of Western Price, who in the early 1900s, he actually founded the research arm of the American Dental Association. But he spoke about focal infections in the mouth and the systemic complications in 1912 or 1913.
Mm. Didn't he do the experiments with the rabbit where he literally took tissue and put it in the rabbit?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I always knew that there is this very intimate connection between the mouth and the body. It's why I wrote the book, The Mouth-Body Connection.
We're looking her up.
And you can get it on tape.
There you go.
But anyway, that's no tape. I mean, that tells how old we are.
Yeah, it's tape. It's true.
You can get it on an MP3. You can download it on Kindle.
You have it on 8-track. Is it on 8-track? Okay, because that's what I have on my car.
Exactly. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, what I love that you're doing, Dan, is, and this is the most profound thing, and I thought about this morning, the wall between medicine and dentistry is coming down. The 150-year divide that separated this from the rest of the body, 150 years ago, there were medical schools and dental schools, and it began. It never used to be that way. As a matter of fact, it never separated in Europe. And, you know, in dental school, we were told, oh, you know, yes, you know, infections in the mouth could be a problem. You know, gum disease, you can lose your teeth. No, gum disease, you can lose your life.
Yeah.
And you have upwards of 10 times greater chance of a heart attack, 7 times greater chance of adult onset diabetes, yeah. 67 higher percent incidence of pancreatic cancer in men. I mean, the number one
bacteria.
By the way,
there was just a new study out February 2018 for the CDC stated that 7 out of 10 chronic degenerative diseases, they believe, is coming from oral microbes.
Absolutely.
To your point.
And a study out of Harvard finding that the number one bacteria found in colorectal tumors, colon cancer, is Fusobacterium nucleatum, one of the most common bacteria in the mouth. So this amazing oral systemic link and understanding this is one factor, but what you are digging into when you say you have these testimonials of people, I can tell you that, you know, and I've been practicing for over 35 years, it'll be 36 years in June, and I want to tell you that I am so excited about the work that I'm doing right now, because I see people getting better, because we are able to identify stealth infections in the mouth, and the very profound effects they have on the body, and so many people are suffering with all kinds of illness. And, you know, I believe that 90% of the body's toxicity outside of the environment around us is what's going on in your mouth.
I couldn't agree more. You know, let's talk about a case, and I can use this gentleman's name because he did a Facebook Live for me, and he gave his story. Matter of fact, he's so excited because he has his life back. He's coming to the seminar that you and I are both teaching at next week. And Tommy, if you're watching this, yeah, I'm talking about you. He literally was sending me a text on the way out of this office. And he said, Dan, is it possible that my 20 years of pain could be gone already? And I said, yeah, Tommy, it could.
Yeah.
And you know what? It is. And that was getting one cavitation. And we'll talk more about what we're talking about. We'll actually show you. But these are infections in the jaw that typically don't have pain. Tommy didn't. But anyways.
And it's also very, very important to point out that these types of defects in the jaw, what we call cavitational osteoporosis, before the advance of technology that we're using now, like 3D cone beam, most dentists would ignore them. They didn't even know they were there.
No, I know.
You know,
yeah. We'll show these, and because we're going to show you how to detect these, because advancements in this area have come a long way. So, you know, Tommy literally, 20 years of pain, liver pain for 20 years went away before that was just giving the infection. And by the way, there was still one more infection, which I don't know if you know this, but you just worked on Tommy a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And he had what was basically still there after the first one, another miracle. I mean, you know, it lifted again. I mean, some of the other conditions he had were lifted after that infection, you know, was basically taken out. So the point is, and that doesn't happen all the time.
No,
you know,
it doesn't. And that's a good thing to point out. We're not here to say that if I do this, you're going to get up and walk.
Right. That happened to Tommy. And it's
not what this is about. What it's about is eliminating these potential sources of stealth infection. It's an opportunistic area. A cavitation is a colloquial term we use for a hole in the jaw. We call a hole in a tooth, we call a cavity. A cavitation is a hole in the jaw. The technical term is cavitation osteonecrosis. There are areas, especially around extracted wisdom teeth, where the tooth is removed and the area doesn't adequately heal. The bone doesn't grow in. So what you're left with is a perfect hiding place for all kinds of pathogens. They have biopsied and taken Lyme spirochetes, candida, mold, all kinds of pathogens that can harbor in these areas. Why? Because they're like little dark caves.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And they're warm, they're dark, they're moist. And prior to actively engaging in getting these areas to regenerate and close, and we'll talk about that, because this has been treated for years and years, especially in Europe. In biologic dentists in Europe recognize these. These also form around teeth that are failing and dental infections, which we had a technical term called periapical area. You know, in actuality, it could be a cyst, but it is generally creating this resorption of bone in this area, this dead area, that is often, I often like to say that, you know, you really, these are supercharged pathogens, you know, because they're able to kind of come to critical mass there and do what we never used to believe, but really affect the body in ways, very interesting ways, that your teeth connect to your body.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, because let's talk about why these create the disease. But, you know, just to bring it to them, because they're saying, could this be me? And I'm right on the statistic here. If you had a wisdom tooth out 25 years ago, you have an 88% chance of having a cavitation, and each tooth forward, it gets a little less.
It's in the 80s. It's like 86 to 80, but they're finding now, through the use of cone beam and screening patients, anyone who had their wisdom teeth out should really have a CBCT, a 3D, what's called a cone beam. It's cone beam computerized tomography. It gives us a 3D representation. So when you take a regular dental x-ray, you could have a lesion in the middle here, but because the bone is superimposed, the two sides on the lower jaw, the cortical bone on each side, it's superimposed. It's very difficult to see what's here. But now with the use of 3D computerized tomography, cone beam technology, we're able to get this 3D image of your jaw where we can see lesions that were never visible before.
Two mistakes. Number one, people go to their dentist, they take a plain film as he's describing, and they say, oh, you look fine, can't see it on plain film. And here's the other mistake. They get a cone beam 3D x-ray that he's describing done. They end up sending the disc to the dentist. The dentist puts it in and reads it. He doesn't have the correct software. He reads it as a plain film. Jerry, that's happened many times.
So many times.
And I says, no, you're going to send it to Jerry. And Jerry actually do Skype.
I do Skype consults all the time. And I'm able to get this digital image, you know, if people can get them taken anywhere in the world.
Right.
And I'm able to get this digital image and read it correctly and let them know whether or not indeed they have these potential areas that could be problematic for their systemic health.
Okay, let's talk about why this would make someone sick, right? I made the comment in the beginning, I was blessed to be in the surgery and see that surgery going down with that young lady. You know, she had all of these health issues. How is this connected, you know, to why someone may not be feeling well, have a hormone problem or whatever they're dealing with?
Well, there's three different ways that a bacterial infection in the mouth can communicate with the rest of the body. One is the direct, in other words, you have a cesspool of bacteria and these pathogens enter the bloodstream and can go to different places and cause issues. Another way is by really creating a chronic inflammation. And that's a big thing. Is that chronic low-grade inflammation. In other words, in G.B. Black, by the way, the father of modern dentistry in the early 1900s, spoke about cavitations. And he said they were these unique areas where there wasn't a fever, there wasn't swelling, right, and there wasn't pain.
I had
no fever, no swelling, no pain. Yet, it's an area of infection. So it's very interesting that that is a source of chronic low-grade inflammation. And what people need to realize, one of the larger sources of chronic low-grade inflammation is gum disease.
Yeah.
But these areas where in the jaw become areas of chronic inflammation. That's the second way that this chronic low-grade inflammation has a huge cascade of events systemically.
Your immune system, your microbiome.
Yeah, I mean, everything from the liver releasing C-reactive proteins, and which has inflammatory effects on the entire circulatory system. There's all kinds of ways that chronic low-grade inflammation puts your body on alert. It's like a silent alarm bell going off that's not being answered.
Right.
And it has devastating effects for body organs everywhere. The third way is another very, very interesting way that I've become so fascinated with. And that is that there is a tooth organ relationship that has been spoken about in the literature for years and years, in Chinese medicine especially, that there are meridian pathways, energetic pathways from teeth to organs. I'm going to share a story this summer that was so compelling that brought tears to me by a patient who had a very specific infection related on an energetic meridian to a particular part of her body. This is documented and fascinating that your teeth, and what I explain to patients now, Dan, is that your teeth are like circuit breakers.
Yeah, I heard you describe ASO. Okay. I was like, that's a perfect explanation.
And what people have to understand is that you don't catch cancer.
Right.
You don't just wake up one day, oh, I caught cancer, like you caught a cold or you got a virus.
It's just your genetics. You got cancer.
Yeah, or you got a genetics. Yeah, like my mother had breast cancer, I got breast cancer, and da da da. There is something very, very interesting. Our bodies are fighting cancer every day.
That's right.
We are fighting cancer every day. Why? Because we have this shield of an immune system. We have a shield. It's like the Starship Enterprise. I tell patients like the Starship Enterprise. When the shield is up and the Klingons fire, you know, those missiles or those torpedoes, the Klingon torpedoes don't get through the shield.
Right.
Okay. So the shield is there. When that shield is down, the torpedo gets in.
You're in trouble.
So, for example, the energetic meridian on the upper first molars is connected energetically to the breast,
right.
The right breast and the left breast. Does it mean that an infection in your upper first molar is going to give you breast cancer? No. What it means is you have an infection, a failing root canal in your upper first molar. That's like flipping the breaker off.
That's great.
Energetically. The shield is down over that part of your body. And as a matter of fact, there was a correlative study done by a good friend of mine, a brilliant doctor and dentist, Stuart Nunnally. He was actually on that movie, The Root Cause. And he did a study. He did a study on, I think, 300 women and found like 90% of them had a root canal on that. 300 women with breast cancer, 90% of them had a root canal on one or the other first molars. There's a huge furor about it. But the fact of the matter is that root canals and molars are very difficult. They don't sterilize the tooth. They often trap. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Why do root canals fail? Why are root canals a source of chronic inflammation? What is the new advances in root canal therapy that might show promise in this area? Mm-hmm. Because the conventional techniques, in my experience of 35 years, they often do not work.
Right. Yeah.
So this woman came to me, and I'll just share the story quickly. She was from Houston and referred to me by actually a functional practitioner who is actually a friend of yours. And she was down there, Deb Lance. Deborah referred this patient to me. And Deborah said, Jerry, I just had a patient come in who's a friend of mine, and she was diagnosed with lung cancer. And it's her left lung. And the first thing I said is, does she have any root canals? Does she have any root canals? She had one root canal. Where was the root canal? On the lower left first molar. What is the lower left first molar the circuit breaker for?
Yeah.
Lung, left lung, lower mandibular first molar. So she comes up and I said, look, Deb, this is, you know, I'm happy to look at it. Let's see if there's infection around it. Let's get a cone beam. We did a cone beam. And sure enough, there was a massive infection around this tooth. So we removed the tooth. I use a laser that actually the I plus actually has the ability to remove diseased tissue, disinfect the area, and then actually stimulate the bone to heal. Because remember, with the tooth out now, she has a space there. We don't want that to remain unresolved. Form another cavitation. So we treated it. We used PRF from her arm, which we'll speak about a little bit. Platelet-rich fibrin, treated it. She had 5 weeks later, she had her pre-surgical evaluation with her oncologist down in Houston. And I got a call from Deborah, who reported to me that the tumor had shrunk to a third of its size and that she didn't need surgery. And they biopsied it and it was completely benign. Now, did I save that woman's life? I would like to say that I played a part, by the grace of God, I played a part in helping that woman recover, because God gives us this amazing ability to self-regulate and heal. We have this amazing ability by the divine to self-regulate and heal. So when we remove what's offending, I think all we did was flip the circuit breaker back on for her immune system to begin working again. So, you know, all of the big advances in cancer therapy is all surrounding our immune response.
Absolutely.
Boosting our immune response. So they're using chemotherapeutic drugs in this regard. They're actually even planting viruses to trigger immune response, but everything is about getting our immune system working.
Absolutely.
And I call that the shield that goes back up.
Yeah. You know, to go full circle on Western Price, you know, he took, I mentioned the rabbits. So he took these root canal teeth, right, that have these anaerobic, nasty, nasty pathogens, bacteria, viruses. He put those in rabbits. Describe that. Describe what happened.
Yeah, well, those rabbits developed tumors and cancers.
The very disease that was in the person. Yeah.
So, I mean, there you have this. You have this, like this. Okay. And, you know, and the thing is that the problem I have, you know, I'm a adjunct clinical associate professor of cariology and comprehensive care at New York University. I have a constant thirst for knowledge and understanding and the ability for us to help people get better. You sent me a text that was beautiful and you said, I love helping people get better. And you know what? There's no greater feeling than to help somebody on their path to live a longer, healthier life.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what this is about. And unfortunately,
you said, Dan, don't ever change that. I'm like, the moment that changes, I'm out.
I texted back, don't ever stop feeling that way. It is a great feeling. And you know, the disappointing part is when orthodox medicine, which is often, you know, unduly influenced by other economic forces and organizations that produce products that they make a lot of money on, pharmaceuticals and things, you know, often, you know, these approaches to help people heal themselves is cast as, you know, voodoo and, oh no, don't do that. And there's a fear-based mentality that's propagated. Mm-hmm. The propaganda, fear-based propaganda.
Sure.
People, we live in an information world now. Do your research. It's podcasts like this that hopefully will stimulate something in your own journey to find the knowledge and take the steps to help your body heal itself.
Share this episode for that very reason. Let me tell you something. I want you to talk about Root Cause, the movie. I thought it was a great documentary. I thought there was an entertainment factor that just kept people's interest, right?
Yeah.
It was a story. It was the producer's story. The guy who produced it, actually, his story about how his root canal, unknowing to him, is why he was sick. And it took him how many years? And I love the way it started, because I would describe it as my story. And matter of fact, I watched it with Tommy, who I mentioned, because he was like, you have to see it, Dan. This is our story, right? And he did everything. He did right. this. He goes through everything. He did acupuncture.
He was a shaman.
Yeah, I mean, and he goes through this whole thing because he went through, he was the doer. He was me.
Yeah, no,
I was going to do everything.
It started. Yeah. He broke up a fight between a guy and his girlfriend. He
gets punched.
And then the guy punches him in the face. He breaks a tooth. He goes to the dentist. The dentist says, I got to do a root canal. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, in 36 years, I've seen a lot of bad root canals. So I would say that, or something happened, they worked on the tooth, they did it afterwards. So it leads me to believe that he probably wasn't a sterile tooth that got busted. It probably got infected.
Yeah.
And then they did a root canal, and the root canal basically sealed the infection there. And actually, and there was that classic oral systemic thing. This guy couldn't get out of bed. This guy
pain, weight gain, everything.
Yeah. And you know, even like sexual dysfunction with his girlfriend.
Yeah, I know. You hear all this stuff. But you know what? But that story, I hear that story all the time. I mean, I work with clients all around the world, man. I hear that story, and that story was me, man. I did everything, and then I got to the cause of why I got sick, and that's the.
I want to tell you that I have so many colleagues of mine who said, oh, that's BS and this and that. And I have a buddy.
Well, they took it down.
I think the American Association of Endodontists and all. I mean, there was, some of it was a little sensationalized. The message was true, though. The message was true. They took it down. They actually filed a lawsuit because they didn't want everyone to think that everyone who has a root canal should run to their dentist to get their teeth ripped.
Well, of course, I knew that's why they took it out.
And that's why they did that. But the reality is,
I will say this: if you have a root canal, get a cone beam.
Yeah,
get a cone beam.
That's the right answer. The right answer is this: a dental X-ray. And I had a woman yesterday who was here at the end of the day, and literally she came with her dental X-rays from her previous dentist, and her previous dentist said, She had a root canal on an upper bicuspid, and the root canal was failing. And the dentist said, "Oh, I don't want to take that out because then you don't have enough bone for a dental implant, and get the root canal redone." And she said intuitively, "I don't think I want that, doctor. I think this tooth has been bothering me ever since this root canal was done. I want that tooth out." And the dentist said, "No, no, no. If you were my wife, I would tell you how to get a root canal. It's crazy. They'll retreat it. It'll be fine." She went and spent thousands of dollars to retreat the root canal. It is far from fine. I had her get a cone beam. And even looking at her regular x-rays, you could see a little inflammation around it. Well, the cone beam showed a massive infection.
Well, that one yesterday, you pulled a root canal out. It looked massively infected to me. I mean, when I saw the cone beam, I could see it.
So what you'll see is you'll see black areas around the tooth on there. Just we can talk about that now, about root canal and why they work and why they don't work.
Right.
Okay. Most don't work.
Right.
I went into practice 35 years ago. I took over a practice from a dentist who had passed away of a heart attack. And he was mercury toxic. I could tell you that, 'cause the whole office. I opened the drawers, and there was mercury rolling around the drawer. I literally had to get like hazmat.
Sickest profession on the planet, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, and a lot of dentists don't stop to think about it, the dentist had the highest rate of suicide when I graduated.
Yeah.
The highest rates of depression, the highest rates of neurological diseases, many like Parkinsonism. I know dentists who had MS, but I know dentists who committed suicide too. And yes, was it the mercury? I would say that the mercury predisposed them to going into a neurological depression.
Yeah.
And that neurological depression is fueled by this, a lot of psychological transference and countertransference of behavior between doctor and patient, but they're sensitized and all. I mean, I know, and I, you know, I'm embarrassed to say that dental amalgam came out in the, Civil War days, and actually they were putting lead in teeth. So I guess the mercury was the next evolution after lead. Exactly. But there were pro-mercury dentists and anti-mercury dentists, even then. Mm-hmm. The pro-mercury dentist formed what we know of as the American Dental Association,
ADA,
which actually held the patent on dental amalgam. Mm-hmm. Dental amalgam is 52% mercury, 26% silver. So to call it a silver filling is really a misrepresentation. Yeah. Any dentist doing that can actually, I think, has a problem with a violation and fraudulent misrepresentation. Because if they say, hey, you know, Dan, I'm going to put a silver filling in, you're like, oh, it's in the back, it's not going to show.
Yeah.
But if the dentist said, hey, Dan, I'm going to put a mercury filling in.
I don't want that.
Yeah. So 52% mercury, it should be called a mercury filling, not a silver filling.
Well, and it leaches mercury, the life of the filling.
It off gases. So when I was in dental school, that's another very interesting point. In dental school, I was told that the mercury was magically locked in.
Yes.
I remember that.
People are still being told that.
How is it locked in? Oh, when you mix it together, the mercury stays in.
Yeah.
Now we have mercury vapor analyzers.
You can read it. It's leaching mercury.
In the wet environment with saliva, because
hot, cold, acid.
If you clench your teeth or grind your teeth or you drink hot liquids, it off gases. And it continues to off gas. And for that percentage of the population that is deficient in the ability to eliminate and excrete, these people get very sick.
Yeah. Well, it vaporizes mercury constantly. It gets worse with hot, cold. Obviously, even the acid in your mouth creates it. That mercury vapor crosses the blood-brain barrier and turns to inorganic mercury. And there, it's trapped for life, unless you do the right process. But here's the other frustrating thing for me is people have these things in their mouth and they're doing all this detox. And meanwhile, it's pouring into the filling. So that's another subject.
Yeah, I had breakfast this morning with a brilliant physician, a brilliant osteopath who understands brain and gut and this and that. And over here, you know, he was talking to me about xylitol and it's good because it lowers people. And I mean, it doesn't understand that it's disturbing to the mic. So here's a brilliant doctor. Here's a brilliant doctor who's like completely at a loss because of this wall that's existed between medicine and dentistry. And that wall needs to come down. Yeah. So one of the things that I spent the breakfast educating him about the oral microbiome, about cavitation, that he knew that there are diseases in the mouth that have profound effects on the body.
Well, you know, just to finish off the root canal conversation, these root canals, I think it was Boyd Haley who did, he had all of the dentists sending root canals, even like non-painful root canals, right? They were sending root canals. In the study, they found anaerobic bacteria, nasty bacteria, the ones that make you sick, in every root canal. I mean, they all had it.
Yeah.
It's because
anaerobic environment.
It is. But there's all these tubules that they get in, not the overcomplicated.
And this is to kind of educate those who are watching this podcast about root canal. The concept itself, you know, of saving the tooth was something that dentists always want to do. Yeah. You know, we always want to save teeth.
Rightfully so.
And I know some endodontists that are artists at getting the canal instrumented and sealed at the apex. Here's the problem. The problem is there are thousands of lateral. A tooth is basically like a sponge. There are thousands of dental tubules. And as a matter of fact, you can
miles.
Even though these are microscopic tubules, bacteria can be stacked 2 and 3 across one of these tubules. And there are thousands of them in the tooth. So you can't really sterilize a tooth and put this inorganic filling material in, we call guttapercha, and allow this to remain without some sort of any bacteria in those lateral tubules. They don't often die off. In fact, they set up a little party because now anaerobes don't want to be anywhere near oxygen or blood supply. So you're really sealed off from oxygen and a blood supply. So what happens is you get a powerhouse of anaerobic activity.
Right.
Second thing is that very often what happens in these situations is most dentists can't sterilize even the central canal. Most dentists hit obstructions in this canal and they fill short or they overfill. So you have all these areas of chronic inflammation. As a matter of fact, I was on the phone with the head of oral pathology at New York University just a few weeks ago, and she was saying to me, and she was, I often biopsy what I find inside cavitations and try and get a picture. And there was a foreign material that was in a cavitation that I was treating around a former root canal area. And it was just a giant void in the jaw. And she was like, she couldn't, it was actually a packing material that was still in the jaw. And then the topic of root canal came up, and she said, Dr. Curatola, I have never seen a biopsy of tissue around a root canal that didn't show signs of chronic inflammation.
Yeah.
And she said, we joke around our pathology office, we call root canal the voodoo that you do. And I left. I said, what was that, the voodoo that you do?
They do.
And so, you know, the reality is I have changed my position on root canal therapy as an optimal treatment. As a matter of fact, the dental literature and the dental research is now showing that dental implants, and we could talk about that because I see the move into ceramic dental implants an important one, especially metal implants. Yeah. Peri-implantitis, all kinds of problems. But a new study from Germany showing that the new 5G cell net actually eats the implants. And, you know,
from your cell phone.
5G network is a, do your research on 5G, everyone.
Yeah,
has a lot of major health problems. There's been no biologic studies on the effects of 5G, but they are coming out now, and it is not good of what we're finding out about 5G. But anyway, getting back, the problems of chronic inflammation, whether it's from around a root canal, whether it's from a cavitation, whether it's from gum disease, these are all areas of chronic low-grade inflammation that has very potent effects systemically.
Right. So let's talk about solution here. You know, so we're talking about cavitations where teeth were extracted, heals over, creates a hidden infection, 25 years later creates a problem. Saw it yesterday in the chair, right? I mean, I just have to show this picture because there was a few problems, obviously. This was that hole that you're looking at right there. That's where the root canal came out, Jerry. That's what they're seeing, okay? And let me show
I want to go back.
Go ahead, show.
So this is what the bone looks like. I don't know if you could see that.
Yeah, they can.
That's what the bone looks like. When I removed this tooth yesterday, the bone wasn't a healthy color. The bone around that root canal that had infection around both of the apices, and there was a fracture in one of the roots, the bone was brown. So you had this, and often I'll remove a root canal where not only does the root look a horrific color because it necroses. So it's the only area of the body, and believe me, I'm in the business of saving teeth. But if I see something that could be a source of infection, not just for the mouth, but for the entire body, that needs to be eliminated. Root canal is the only procedure done in medicine and dentistry where you leave something dead in the human body,
right?
Because there is a natural process of necrosis that does go on. And you know, a lot of endodontists, and I've had a lot of heated debates with friends of mine who are endodontists, who claim that there is a peripheral circulation to the roots from the tiny ligaments that attach to the bone. That's not nearly enough to keep that root from necrosing.
This was her cavitation. So that was a root canal. He broke through with laser. So what you're looking at is the top of the bone, and then right through it is where he broke through into that dark hole. That's the cavitation right there.
Okay, that's not even the size of it. I access it. The lesion is actually this large. I access from here, so I just need access with the laser to disinfect and clean it out, and then use PRF and some grafting material
which we're
to basically get this lesion to heal.
So it was interesting because you said this girl had gut problems her whole life, diagnosed with Lyme, as I said, low immunity, et cetera. No wonder she wasn't healing. No one got to the cause. But that was also on the meridian of her small intestine, her colon.
Gut and heart. So your wisdom teeth, everyone, energetically, on a meridian chart, are connected to your gut, small intestine, and heart. Yeah. And heart. So you see, I've had people with, you know, irregular, they were having conductivity issues. Mm-hmm. They were actually had a patient who was scheduled for a cardiac ablation. That's where they go in and burn these fibers that are causing fibrillation to the heart. So you actually, they burn, ablate and cauterize this tissue to stop the irregular heartbeat. Scheduled for that. Patient was scheduled for that, had a huge, similar to that one, a huge cavitation, and treated the cavitation, and he began to have the arrhythmia reversed itself. Mm. So the body can heal.
No doubt. All right, let's talk solution, because a lot of changes have been made, and I'm going to show you a video here in a moment of my wife. But okay, so I tell people now, look, laser to me is taking this to a whole nother level. The old days, even done properly, they were using just some injected ozone, which is fine, but 50-60% of these things would, a year later, 2 years later, would still go bad.
Right.
So there's been some changes. Laser's one of them. Something called PRF, using bone graft. We're going to show some of these things. All of that has made this much, much better.
Absolutely. So cavitation surgery, a lot of it originated in Europe. I mean, here, we were never taught this in dental school. Some oral surgeons used to go in. You know, they'd be looking at, and really this whole seemingly epidemic of cavitations is only because we've become aware of it. There was, you know, we were sort of in the dark.
Yeah, now with two cone beam, where
you know, we had panoramic x-rays. Cone beam 10 years ago wasn't really very commonplace. So a lot of times oral surgeons would be looking to put an implant in. And we used to actually classify the bone. That classification came around actually later also when implants started becoming popular. We had type 1 bone is like plywood, type 2 bone was like pine, type 3 was like balsa wood, and type 4 was like wispy nothing, you know, like this void. And they would say, oh, that's type 4 bone. Well, isn't it interesting that the type 4 bone is in the shape of a wisdom tooth that was extracted?
Cavitation.
You know, it was like type 4 bone. That just happened to form like the wisdom tooth did. Right. You know? So then we started realizing, hey, wait a minute. And then G.V. Black spoke about this. And there's a lot of literature about this. This is not something that's new. It's not something that we just discovered. It's just something that we're better able to diagnose.
Right, right.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is the way they used to do this is they would take a dental drill and take away, because often there's like an eggshell of cortical bone that grows on the
top. Yeah, you kind of saw that in that picture.
Yeah, in that picture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even in the pictures you'll show of Marilee here, she had like a little thin mm-hmm. thing of bone and then just hollow.
Yeah.
Like a hollow cave.
Yeah,
we'll and so what they used to do is they used to take a dental drill to the jaw, drill out this whole thing with a dental drill, which is terribly traumatic. Anytime you stick a dental drill on jawbone, on living tissue like that, there's a huge inflammatory.
So now you're doing that with laser, which is...
The laser is ingenious because the laser, and there's only certain lasers that do work, that you can use on hard tissue and soft tissue. So this laser, the Waterlase I Plus by BioLase, was being used, and I was using it to regenerate bone around periodontally involved teeth, because it's a wavelength of light that stimulates what we call mitotic division of the osteoblast. And in English, that means it stimulates the cells that make new bone to divide.
Right.
So when you get mitotic division, you get cell division, you grow the bone back.
Right.
I use my hands a lot because I'm Italian.
Yeah. Exactly.
So anyway, getting the bone to grow back, but here's the great thing about using the laser. Much less trauma.
I don't even know that I inflict.
I have patients come to me, and the next day they are not swollen, mm-hmm. and I think it's a combination of that and using the platelet-rich fibrin from their blood.
So yeah, so you're going to see that, but we take the blood. It's like basically putting stem cells in there.
I mean, to make it
simple.
I draw a couple of vials of blood from your arm. And then we spin it down on a special centrifuge that separates the plasma and red blood cells. And then there is something in the middle, like a yellow jelly that's in your blood, that's called platelet-rich fibrin, or PRF, platelet-rich fibrin. It's got platelets, but it is loaded with, we found that it's a rich source of mesenchymal stem cells. Mm-hmm. Stem cells are wonderful, as you know. You've done a lot of research in the stem cell area. And it's got some growth factors, everything good. And hey, it's a biologic tissue from your body that's going into another part of your body to help it heal. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I say if they're not doing that, don't get it done. Make sure you go to a dentist that's doing that procedure. Look, a video is worth 10,000 words. So let's cut away to, this is my wife, Marilee, and when you're going to get the C, the bone graft, you're going to get to see the PRF, you're going to get to see the laser, and you're going to see all that. And then we'll come back, and then you can make some comments, and we'll actually show you the before and after of my wife, Marilee. So let's cut away.
Okay. So, Jerry, we went in because we saw a little area here on the cone beam, and you can point it out. Right back there, and we will go back and remind you what the first one looked like. But
the reason why we like more support here is because this is the sinus, and when you're this close to the sinus, there is something called an oral antral communication. So communication from the mouth to the sinus, infection in the mouth, infection in the sinus. Very often we see these, sometimes you'll have a sinus infection, it'll feel like a toothache.
Right.
Sometimes you'll have a toothache, but it's really a sinus infection.
Well, again, when we come from this, we're going to show you these side by side. This is the new one, and you can see the sinus, and you'll see on the other one that had a centimeter of inflammation. Now you don't, and this is all bone, except for this area we were concerned about.
So if you go down where that blue line is, I don't know if you can see that on
there. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where the blue line is the area that we really want to kind of clean out and fill in with the platelet-rich fibrin, which we took first.
We'll show you that in a second.
And also with the bone grafting material that we used to place in there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be doing that right now, but I can show you the material right here. So this is actually what platelet-rich fibrin looks like.
Mm-hmm. So we spun down our blood.
We spun down our blood. We get these, this material, which comes, it's almost like a yellow jelly. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of blood with it, but a yellow jelly. It's loaded with mesenchymal stem cells, and it's loaded with growth factors. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that this is an excellent biologic grafting material that is readily accepted by the body. It comes from the body.
Right.
And this is an excellent way of stimulating regeneration.
Yeah.
So we're using it in bone, we're using it in gum tissue, we're using it even in teeth. We can use our platelet-rich fibrin. Here's another batch of platelet-rich fibrin mixed with a little bit of allographic bone. So allographic bone is human bone. We use it. The bone grafting material is strictly a scaffold for your body to make bone cells to grow across. That scaffolding helps fill in and support this area. As your body makes bone, the grafting material resorbs and disappears. So what people have to understand is we're not sticking bone in there and that's the bone.
Right.
We're actually assisting the body to heal itself.
Right.
And that's what this is about.
So the old way of doing it was, hey, we would open up these cavitations and we would inject some ozone in there, hit it with some ozone.
Yes.
But a year later, which is where we are in her, a year later, 50% of them would go bad.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I like to say that the old way of treating jaw osteonecrosis or jaw cavitations was sort of like a right church, wrong pew.
Mm-hmm.
It was a right church because, yes, it can be a problem. These lesions left alone, we have found Lyme spirochetes in their mold, candida, all kinds of different pathogens have been identified in these areas in the bone. When these areas, though, are opened up and cleaned out and used ozone, so that all that is good. Using ozone, cleaning that is good. The problem is there wasn't an effective regeneration
of
the defect that was there. So what we want to do is we want to regenerate. How do we regenerate? We use this laser.
Right, so, which you just did.
Yeah.
On her, laser. Yep.
So we use this laser. So this laser light debrides the area. And then it does something called bone decortication. Bone decortication is a way of stimulating the cells that make new bone to grow back.
Right.
So it stimulates mitotic division of the osteoblast.
Right.
Grow new bone.
So I would say that this new method, number one is the laser. Number two is, you know, using the PRF with some of the grafting material.
Yes.
And now we're at about a 90% or 98% success rate a year later without reinfection.
Well over 90%.
Yeah.
Remember, the key with any lesion in the jaw is to get it to heal.
Right.
To get it to grow back.
Yeah.
So you could kill everything that's in there. But what you really want to do is promote regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
And regenerative dentistry, regenerative medicine, that's the most exciting thing.
Yeah.
The advances in laser and stem cells, as you know, even, you know, generating killer cells like you talked about in some other programs. All of this, I think, is the future of medicine. Regeneration.
No, no doubt. Well, look, we did a Facebook Live, and we had a gal kind enough in this chair right here. I mean, literally an hour ago, that was so sick. No one ever found. Diagnosed with Lyme disease, gut problems for most of her life. I mean, in all these years, nobody went upstream. And what we found was horrific. What we found, what you found, I just happened to be in the surgery.
One of the largest cavitations.
Yeah, it was horrible.
One of the largest cavitations I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, spirochetes in there, black stuff, these things that just looked unidentifiable came out. Yeah. And then, you know, it was a sad case because she also had a metal crown over amalgam that you said you pulled out about three thermometers full of mercury out of.
Two-thirds of the tube
was
an amalgam, which is 52% mercury. Underneath, another metal crown of a dissimilar metal.
Right.
So it creates galvanism. Yeah. Galvanism causes, it actually cranks mercury out of the amalgam.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that on this show, as a matter of fact. But, you know, this was about a year ago, and we just wanted to do a recon beam just to make sure she was healing because, you know, we want to be better safe than sorry.
You saw
that little lucency and said, let's just go in and take a look at it. And you stimulated the healing again. We'll put PRF in there again.
Yeah.
But at least there was no infection, but this will speed up the healing. So
three things. Her sinus looked so much better.
Oh, I mean, we're showing before and after here on the show. So, yeah.
Sinus looked so much better. She had a lot of healthy bone there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the area where she didn't have, the only reason why I wanted to put some additional clean it out, disinfect again, and put more PRF and graft is because we want to support the sinus membrane.
Yeah.
We don't want there to be a lack of bony support under the membrane.
Right, which last time it was a mess. All right, so we're going to learn more. Stay tuned.
All right, Jerry, any comments on that, what we just saw?
Yeah, what I wanted to say, and I want to talk about bone grafting for a minute, because people have a misunderstanding about bone grafting. Mm-hmm. So all bone grafts, we have four different types. We have human bone from your own body, which is a painful thing to take bone from the body. Sometimes we We've actually done hip grafts and all kinds of things. So you have bone from your own body. You have human bone, which people like, it's from cadaver. You take the kidneys, you take the lung, you take the heart.
If you take blood, right, you get a blood transfusion, blood from somebody else.
Right. So there is human bone, which actually tends to work the best, either your own or human bone. Then we have synthetic bone, and then we have animal bone, often pig or cow. So there's porcine and bone.
Which one do you like?
I like the human bone.
Okay.
So here's the thing about the graft. There are cells in our bodies that make bone called osteoblasts. Mm-hmm. There are cells that remodel or take bone away called osteoclasts. Any imbalance in that osteoblast and osteoclastic activity, you end up with things like osteoporosis, you end up with osteopenia, there's all kinds of problems. So the osteo, the bone that's grafted is actually a scaffold. It does not stay.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a scaffold for the osteoblast to kind of grow and make.
So now you're putting the stem cells in there around this scaffolding.
Right.
And now we're able to fill in the hole, the void.
So in one of those dishes with Merrily, we had pure PRF.
Yeah.
And then we had PRF mixed with some human bone.
Yeah, you saw that.
And that is the bone that acts as a scaffold for Merrily's body to make new bone and grow
and
over.
And you packed it in that deep hole. I mean, you saw these deep holes. I showed you on the video.
Yeah.
And packing it in there now, and then you stitched it over, and now that forms.
Yeah, well, what we do is we'll use...
So he packs it in those deep holes there that you're seeing there, as well as that big hole.
Yeah, so there are times where we don't need to use the bone grafting. Mm. When it's a smaller, like in some single root extractions, we could just put PRF, and that's enough to stimulate the bone and for the osteoblast to use that.
Right.
Then there are times where we will use the grafting material. But what I want people to understand is we're helping the body heal itself. Yeah. So that graft material becomes a scaffold. The osteoclasts eat away. And that old bone. So that resorbs, and what you're left with is new bone that your body made.
Yeah, your body made. I get this a lot. Well, I went to my biological dentist, and he injected that with ozone, and it killed all the infection. Now I'm okay. Hey, the pain's gone. Hey, it does feel better. Actually, even I feel better.
Right.
What's the problem with that?
The problem with that is ozone is wonderful as a... Very. What I love about ozone, it has so many wonderful properties.
Well, your laser produces ozone.
The laser produces it. It generates ozonated water, and we use ozone gas, and we use separate ozone water too.
Right.
The key to think about here is ozone is not magic. Ozone converts to peroxide. It has a wonderful effect. It actually helps. Another good thing about ozone is it brings blood supply back. Mm-hmm. So it helps to open the blood supply. So does the laser do that? So the laser, when we see blood, we're very happy.
Yeah.
Blood is a life force. Mm-hmm. It's an important part of the healing process. So we want to bring blood back to this dead necrotic area that didn't really have a blood supply. And so ozone has its place. The problem about using ozone alone is you just basically nuke everything. You bring a little circulation, but you don't regenerate that.
Here's the example I love to give. It's like, okay, you can chase the bears out of the cave, but as long as there's a cave, more bears are going to end up in the cave.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line. So you have to get rid of the caves, and then the bears don't come back, right? So, I mean,
the name of the game here, Dan, is regeneration.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want regeneration. Does ozone have a place? Absolutely.
Well, I mean,
but I've seen people, and this is an interesting point. I've had many patients come to me who've had several cavitational surgeries in areas where the bone looks like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
And the bone has not healed. And they've gone back, and the biologic dentist is saying, oh, let me do another ozone injection. Let me do another ozone here and ozone there. Ozone also nukes the biofilm. So, you need a balance. You know, I do believe in ozone. I do use ozone, but I use it responsibly. And a lot of biologic dentists are taught ozone. They're ozonating all the gums every time the patient comes in because they have a little gingivitis.
Right.
Gingivitis is a biofilm imbalance. You don't want to use napalm and, you know, scorched earth policy. What you really want to do is promote rebalancing. And that's why, you know, I developed this.
Ah, there you go.
Okay.
I use it every day, by the way. It's on our website.
So this toothpaste is prebiotic. We have vitamin K2 and D3. We have CoQ10 and vitamin C and vitamin E was the first component.
Here's what I love about it. You can actually eat it. It's that
healthy. It's a dietary supplement.
It actually
the reason why we found gum stop bleeding in a matter of days, the reason why we found that you get close to a 70% reduction of gingival inflammation in 2 weeks with double-blind clinical research we did in Europe and the United States is because we are fostering microbial homeostasis. We're not nuking all the bacteria. We're actually getting the same bacteria. This was the biggest breakthrough understanding that I had in my research in developing this. The greatest, and by the way, but toothpaste is regulated as cosmetic, so you can't make these claims, but we can show lots of pictures. So unless we want to go through the, you know, an IND an FDA, you have to file a new drug application. It's called an NDA. And I'm eating a toothpaste. By the way,
it's really good.
If you eat this much of commercial toothpaste, you have to call poison control.
It's true. It's true. It's fluoride alone.
Promoting, it's all about, you know, when you understand the science of the microbiome, you realize that products, you know, commercial products like Listerine, Colgate bottle, and all these other products kill. Well, the natural companies came around and said, why don't we use tea tree oil instead of triclosan? Mm-hmm. Well, tea tree oil is just as toxic to the microbiome.
Yes.
As triclosan.
Yeah. So meaning most of the natural toothpaste out there, they have these nasty killers in that wipe out the microbiome, which also affects the gut. Let's tell Marilee's story here very briefly. And if you saw the last show, it was whatever, a year ago, my wife had this sinus drainage coming down. She started getting abnormal cells in her nose that weren't healing, started worrying me. I said, "Hun, which side do you had your wisdom teeth out on?" The right. Okay. If you know my wife, if I tell her right, she goes left. She goes left. She goes right. Okay. And that's true. Okay. So I'm the dumb one here. By the way, I'm the dumb one here. I believed her. Okay. For the first time, I believed her. Okay. It was the right. No, it was the left, exactly where her drainage was.
Whenever my wife directs me.
Yeah.
And she says, "Honey, make a right." I'm like, okay.
It's the left. Yeah. So when she tells me it's on the right, I should have said left. And oh gosh, what was I thinking? So anyway, bottom line was we ended up getting a cone beam. And let me just show you what we found. And I'll have you explain it. So let me see if we can see this. Okay. I want to bring it down to this one. Yeah, exactly. And I think we can see that. Yeah, go ahead. That's her sinus that you're looking at.
Here is the area where her wisdom tooth was. All of this black here is
void.
It's empty. So this whole area about the size of the end of my finger is all cavitation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole area of cavitational osteoarthritis right there where that was. But what's interesting in addition to that is whatever the heck is going on in there, she sure has a lot of
centimeter of schmutz.
Just go to the other side.
Yeah, there's the other side. Okay,
can you see the other sinus here?
Yeah, it's you know, you can see there's no inflammation.
There's nothing. Then you go here.
Then you go here.
And her sinus is a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And actually, this is a good shot. Another angle of her sinus. Actually, we can show it up here, Dan. Let me just show you right here. She has areas where the congestion in her sinus is almost the.
And you're looking at a cone
beam. That's a cross section.
Yeah.
So that's
all
point.
Cone beam. Yeah.
The good thing about a cone beam is that we can look at this from many different angles. So, for example,
what do you want me to go down here?
You can go down here, but now I'll show you a cross section of up on the top. So where this blue line is, mm-hmm. if we go up here, you'll actually see black, 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 which is all void in this area between the dotted line, the solid line, and the dotted line. Mm-hmm. That area is all just empty.
Right.
But right above it, look at all the congestion in her sinus here.
Yeah, massive. And, so, like, and that's what was happening to her.
She had to have a constant postnasal drip, right. What we call PND.
Now, you know, let's show the one we did yesterday. So we did another cone beam a year later, approximately.
Now, I actually talk about this. This is a really important point.
So
now this area has healed. Mm-hmm. And if I bring this over here.
What we were doing, there was a little void. So he went in so yesterday just to check
it. See, this is not black. This is filled.
Yeah, filled.
Okay. But if you remember, Merrily flew shortly after, mm-hmm. and we took a cone beam. Most of it's filled in. She has a little area here that still has not filled in.
Let me make sure I got that there. Eric, do you got to show it again?
Can you see this little
right
area
there?
Here?
Uh-huh.
But look at her sinus.
Perfect.
Clean.
Mm-hmm.
Clean. Sinus clean. And even up here, if we look here, let's see if I can bring her sinuses back. Sinus is pretty clean.
Yeah. Yep.
Especially there.
Yeah.
Further forward in the sinus, she had a little something there.
Uh-huh.
But nothing down where that third molar was.
Right. Yeah.
So, but I want to make a point about this because there is an area here because this bothered me.
So that's when you went in yesterday, which you saw. You saw the video.
So we could talk about that right now.
Yeah.
So this is very interesting because the success of the healing response, what I've come to learn is I have a lot of patients who travel into me to have these procedures done. And the most important thing is I have to ground you for a little while. Mm-hmm. You can't jump on an airplane because I found a major contraindication to healing, especially in these delicate areas where bone is healing, you're up near the sinuses. You really can't be in a pressurized cabin.
Oh, by the way,
I don't want you flying or doing scuba diving.
I was stubborn. I had to go do a seminar, blah, 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 the whole thing. And it went on the flight. I got this massive headache that was coming from my neck. Okay. This was 2 days after I got cavitation surgery.
Way too soon.
And it ended up literally going into my neck.
Yeah.
And you guys know that story because that's how I got the stem cell.
Anyone who's going to or traveling to a biologic doctor who is doing cavitation surgery, you cannot fly. You cannot fly. So, of course, I've grounded Merrily right now.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's talk about that. Yesterday, I went into that little area, and I was intrigued because I was like, well, this is, that should have been solid. It should have been healed mm-hmm. perfectly. Well, anyway, I went in there, and there was a small amount of bone. What I did is I put PRF, and I packed some more grafting and material to give her a nice solid base of bone in what's called that tuberosity area, in that third molar tuberosity area, because her sinus is right above that. So I wanted to give her some protection and some support for her sinus.
Yeah.
The important thing again is no flying, no scuba diving, and really it's important to understand that the healing process after the procedure is done is very, very important.
Yeah, so if it's a big cavitation, how long would you keep them here if they flew in?
If it's not near the sinus, I mean, generally patients can come in midweek and leave by the Monday after.
Okay, all right. And by the way, okay, so I've had people from all over the world come and see you. Matter of fact, every time I'm here, I love it because I get to actually meet them, right? So
everybody who flew in over Christmas got to see the Radio City Music Hall Rockettes. I had tickets for everybody for the shows, and I was like, go to a show, have a nice time, go to some restaurants, make it what they call it when you go to Mexico for something, destination medical surgery, medical treatment. But we, it's a great thing if you can relax, enjoy, and take a peaceful trip home. I like to see patients generally 3 days after, after when they're healing. And I generally follow up by Skype, and I'm able to actually have a Skype consult, which I'm going to have a post-operative consult today with a patient who was referred by you and who was treated.
I get to meet all my clients because I have clients all over the world, and it's like I get to meet them here. I love it. So, but let's talk about you're expanding. We have a exciting thing that's happening. So, you know,
this is the most exciting thing. The wall between medicine and dentistry is coming down. So really, the health centers, the wellness centers of the future are going to bring, and what Dan and I do, I think, are two of the most important aspects of helping people get well. And that is the oral systemic link. So it's dental and detox.
Dental works.
Detox. Detox, yeah. Dental.
Yeah.
And a lot of the detox, so look at this. There are patients who are toxic. Their functional medicine doctors are like, you're loaded with metals. Eliminating heavy metals from the body is not just a science, but an art. And you have gotten that down because you lived it.
Yeah.
So you lived that, and that's what I love, that you've helped so many people, Dan, because you've put them on a protocol that is personalized for their particular circumstances. And that involves not hitting it with a hammer, where if you try to get the mercury out of the rest of you, you may get mercury out of your mouth. But if you've been found by your functional medicine doctor, your biologic doctor, I never use what term to use anymore. I use biologic a lot because it's easier. You know, Europe, everything is biologic.
Doctor, yeah.
So if your biologic physician has said you're showing up in examination with heavy metals in the diagnosis, I highly recommend that you follow Dr. Pompa's protocol, because he is intuitive, he is experienced, and he does not, what I love that you do is you don't address this in a heavy-handed way, because getting mercury out of the mercury is a very insidious metal. I find a lot of nickel, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of people have old,
what
we call porcelain fused metal crowns,
which
is basically a metal thimble with porcelain on top.
Oh.
And just this morning when I was walking in my office, every crown I remove from the patient's mouth with metal, I analyze the metal. And I'm actually going to publish on it, because I'm finding a high number of crowns that were done in the 1980s when the price of gold went very high.
Yeah.
The dental laboratories were using non-precious metals. They're up to 77% nickel. That's like pure nickel. And many times, dentists, you know, a lazy technique that dentists had is they make the crown and they leave the amalgam in the tooth.
Here's one. That poor gal yesterday. Right. This, I don't even know if you can see that, but that shiny part in there, yeah, that's amalgam. And there was a crown that covered this big amalgam. He said enough mercury for 3 thermometers, and it was covered by metal. That's called galvanism. It creates more mercury vapor, poisons you, basically. And it's an electrical current, so now you're a battery.
Yeah, galvanism actually, what it's been found to do is, especially with disliked metals or metal like amalgam, it cranks the mercury out of the amalgam. So it off gasses.
Poor girl.
It off gasses more because of the electrical current created by the galvanism.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's one thing. But really, the center in East Hampton is opening in June. We're very excited about it. We're incorporating so many wonderful therapies that have shown great promise in helping people.
Yeah, the end of June here.
Yeah,
so listen, and it's going to be, we're bringing in all this good stuff together.
And Fran Drescher is hosting it. My good friend Fran, if you're listening, she is amazing. She is a cancer survivor, and she has become a wellness activist and using her celebrity position to promote wellness and taking charge. She said, if people if people want something to stop, they should use the power, their purchasing power, their consumer purchasing power to get bad products to go away. Stop buying them.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more there. So detox done right is critical. And, you know, I think that's another mistake people make, is they get things like amalgam fillings out and then they go, oh, okay, that's it. Well, the mercury's in the brain. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, my passion is teaching people the process, because one of my pet peeves is, oh, I did mercury detox 3 months. Meanwhile, 25 years, 30 years, exactly. This mercury was going into your brain, and it's 3 months. So you have to learn the process, and that's right. What I tell my doctors. Right. Teach people the process, right, docs? Yeah. My docs listening. You know, we teach people the process, and then yeah. They do it long enough to actually matter.
Exactly.
Well, listen, we covered a heck of a lot of material.
We
here,
sure
man.
Did.
Yeah, man, I love you, man. I can hang out here all day and look at this stuff. And matter of fact, I'm ready to do a surgery now.
Right, all right, let's go.
I would love to know. And I was fun though yesterday. I mean, I really got teared up in there several times because yeah. I knew I was watching this girl's all this money, yeah. time, and you know, heartbreak, and I was watching it change.
You know, if dentists out there, and you know, my dream is to take good dentists and just put a biologic dentistry is not a specialty. I'm a very, very competent, very, very good restorative dentist. I do beautiful cosmetic dentistry. Wow. All that is well and good. Just put a biologic cap on. If I could get dentists, and one of my biggest regrets was, you know, in 2006, I gave a naming gift to New York University for a clinical research wing. It's a Curatola wing for yeah. clinical research.
Yep.
And that was to promote translational research. And I was doing research, oral microbiome research. I was passionate about getting greater understanding of our microbial composition, yeah. and what we're
starts
made of.
Starts here, by the way.
But I wish I had instead given the money to open a center for integrative dentistry so that dentists could start to put this biologic cap on and take the most talented graduating fourth year dental students and put them now, train them to think biologically, looking at root causes yeah. of disease and not treating the symptoms. Don't look at the patient as a walking tooth. Look at the patient as this living, amazing life force yeah. that's in a tenth of the body, as Paul calls it. And the reality is that, you know, we have this divine ability, God-given ability to self-regulate and heal. And understanding that, and just understanding that mindset, they'd be able to look in patients' mouths and be able to diagnose toxicity.
Yeah.
They'd be able to look at the root causes of disease in the mouth and work in tandem with doctors like you.
Yeah. Well, you can Root Cause Movie. We mentioned the movie Root Cause. If you want to see it, it was taken off Netflix, but it's rootcausemovie.com. And Ashley, you could put that up when we actually spoke about the movie as well on the bottom. So you should see it. But share this episode with many. This is a life changer, man. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you,
Tim. Love you, man.
Love you,
man. Let's go check my bike.
Well, that's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. This episode was brought to you by Cyto Detox. Please check it out at buycytonow.com. We'll be back next week and every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We truly appreciate your support. You can always find us at cellularhealing.tv, and please remember to spread the love by liking, subscribing, giving an iTunes review, and sharing the show with anyone you think may benefit from the information heard here. And as always, thanks for listening.